This is a spiritual reading being given for Maria Plummer on Saturday the 1st of June 2024 in Victoria, Australia by John Rawson. We stand within the hall of memory and the book of the soul is given into our hands. And the book of the soul, Maria, is a metaphor that represents all the incarnations that the soul has experienced since it first came into incarnation many, 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 many years ago. And the book of the soul is veiled, which means that I'm unable to give you your soul name, which would explain the purpose, the reason why your soul came into incarnation in the first place. And it means that the purpose of this incarnation is currently also veiled, so I can't say anything more about that, which probably is Spirit's way of saying that you have to work it out for yourself. Sometimes a purpose, a soul purpose, is as simple as having to work out what one's soul purpose is. But what we do find when we open the book of the soul to the current incarnation is that the soul has painted a picture of itself in colour. And this coloured picture is the human aura. And the colours of the aura will represent gifts and talents that should be utilised in this incarnation. And the colours also are created by specific previous incarnations. So once we start to examine the colours in some detail, then your past lives, the relevant past lives, will also be revealed. The colours as we see them at present, and they change over the course of a lifetime, but you're at the age of 50, very significant age, by the way. The colours should be stable. The first colour is light rose. The second colour, quite difficult to describe. It's a brown, but it's got yellow, a light brownish yellow that's sort of dissolving into it, almost as though it's trying to dissolve the brown. That's very unusual. From the shoulders, deep purple. Also, it's a very unusual colour combination. Deeper reds around the throat, the brow, the heart, and the gonads. And the deeper reds simply indicate at this stage that your goals and ambitions and perceptions are tied tightly to what seems significant in material sense and world sense. But that's going to change in the next 6 or 7 years. Within the head, light yellow brown or brownish yellow, And vortex descending into the head is a deep blue. And the vortex represents the energies that are entering into your consciousness from the spiritual worlds. And you may not be quite aware of them as yet, but they will be very significant over the next 7 years of your life. There are several images in the aura itself. And on the left-hand side, standing by your feet actually, is a statue of Mary, Virgin Mary. It's a statue of Mary stooping to perhaps pick a flower or to perhaps give a benediction. You might see this in an old Catholic convent or an old Catholic church. There's an image directly in front of you. The image on the left, by the way, refers to the past. The image in front refers to the present, and it's an image of someone coming through a cave or a long tunnel and just starting to see light at the end of the tunnel, the entrance of the cave. And on the right-hand side, which represents future experiences, it's a sun just rising. But it's a sun with a smile, with a smiley face, almost like a children's drawing. The symbol of the over-self hovers about 6 to 8 inches above the head. The symbol of the over-self is the soul's way of communicating with us at present. Or perhaps we should say the real self is communicating with us. And the real self is like your book, it's veiled, it's hidden away. And it takes a lot of work within a life to remove that veil and stand face to face with who we really are. But what the real self does, the Christ self or the I am or whatever you want to call it, it communicates to us in pictures, and particularly in the one we call the image of the over-self. And as we see it at present, and this will change from time to time as we grow and evolve, but at present it is a picture of you walking through mud in heavy, mud-clogged gumboots, which probably represents something of the way that you feel at present. Probably hard to move forward just at the moment. But as I said, the symbol changes and evolves as we also change and evolve. I'd like to return to the colours of the aura. The first colour.
Do you have any influence?
No influencing colours at present.
Sorry.
The first aura colour is light rose. It's pretty uncommon as a first colour. And it goes with the fact that the aura itself is a bit depressed. In the edges of the aura are sort of bent downwards, which normally is an indication of lack of vitality and a feeling that life can be too much, or perhaps life is too much, and that there's nothing leading you forward. You don't see a way forward. And yet it's interesting because there is a path there. But it's not perhaps the path that you might anticipate. It's a completely different path that your soul has laid out for you in the next 10, 15 years. So the aura itself is not full of vitality, and it's harder because your first colour is light rose or sort of a light pink, which where really it should be a light red, and that would indicate full strength and full vitality. So you could almost think of this as a watered down light red. Now, the light red is the life force. If you stand in front of a beautiful tree or a healthy shrub, you may feel that life force emanating out of it as this very light red colouring. But what the light rose does is it makes you very, very sensitive. And sensitive on a physical level, and sensitive on a mental level. On a physical level, your body, to me, doesn't seem happy. And I don't know whether you're on a particular diet or whether you're under some sort of medical treatment. But there's something in your environment that is depressive. I think my recommendation would be have fun. Go out. Enjoy yourself. Do a few things that make you happy. Don't worry about pleasing other people. You'll never be able to please everyone anyway. It's a waste of time. Go out and please yourself. Take up something new within your life, something new that excites you, particularly something where you're using your mind. You have a good mind, very good thinking abilities, particularly in terms of handling details. Although, funnily enough, in the work that you've chosen, I don't see that particular aspect coming out very strongly. But we'll look at that in a minute. Light rose is very sensitive on the mental levels and the psychological levels. Often people with this as the first colour are very psychically sensitive, which is a blessing and a curse at the same time. You can be really sensitive and help other people, but the trouble is that gift, like, for example, a gift of music, needs a lot of training before it can become useful. And what often happens with light rose people is that they are so sensitive that they pick up the thoughts and the negative emotions of people around them. That's why it's important that you have peace and serenity and beauty within your environment. You live at Seaford, don't you? So it's a shame that you're not within walking distance of the beach. But do get out on that beautiful beach, because you need every chance to soak up the peace and the infinity that looking out on that ocean provides. You have to be really careful about what you take into yourself. Don't believe everything anyone says. Put it through a filter of common sense. Your feet don't think I said this before, but there's brown around the feet, which is actually really good in many ways because it keeps you grounded. Unfortunately, at the moment, I think it's keeping a bit too grounded, but never mind. The browns around the feet, and also the brown as a second colour, that makes you more cautious. But because of the light rose, you still have to be very careful about what you listen to. You know, go and visit a psychic and she says, you're going to die at the age of 56, or something like that. And I'm so glad that Melody set you straight on that. First of all, any psychic, palmist, astrologer, whatever you want to call them, who says, I know when you're going to die, is lying. That is an impossibility. It is not given to anyone but you, your soul, to know the date of your departure from this world. So, and secondly, to say that to you, by the way, is extremely unethical. So this is a sort of filter. What am I hearing? Am I hearing reality? Am I hearing morality? Something moral, something that's good, something that lifts me up. And because of the light rose, you need to surround yourself with upliftment and beauty in terms of other people. I can see you're having problems in where you live, and I've noticed that you revised your question, and I understand that you want to sell the house, but you haven't got the price that you want yet. And I do see you wandering around and sort of staggering slightly, imbalance. You're finding it hard to keep your balance. And I think you would be worried about walking up and down stairs. I think Melody's made a very practical suggestion on that front. But I do think that you will sell your house over the next 2 years, not perhaps right at the moment. There's still quite a lot of development within the psyche, within the soul, that has to occur before you can be released from where you're living. But I would think that you'll start to see movement either at the very end of 2024 or at the latest about halfway through 2025. So I wouldn't be in a hurry. I'd just sit back, find or create ways to help you manage the situation at present. They don't have to be permanent or long-term mechanisms, but you should have mechanisms in your life that allow you or assist you in very practical ways. Same, by the way, applies to career. You're going through a time in your life where you're redefining and rethinking career. But that's an ongoing process. It's a process. It's not something that where you get a snap decision. And the thing is that it takes about 2.5 years to go through a change in career. And there's a lead up, and then there's a in your case, there should have been a culmination either earlier in this year or perhaps last year, where you felt probably that you'd gone about as far as you could go in the career that you were working at. And with light rose, you have to be careful about what sort of career you pick. Light rose people often go into healing because of the sensitivity. They often wind up in social work, or they wind up in some kind of therapist or counselor, because they're good at that. They're good at picking up cues from other people. And it's really important in this incarnation, one of the purposes not the purpose, but one of the purposes of this incarnation is that you would learn to hear, learn to listen, and learn to develop your hearing, not just on an outer level, but on an inner level. There is a past life that we see here connected with the light rose, and here we see you as a Japanese person, female body, and you are, I would say it's the 19th century, perhaps it's the 1800s, and if the incredibly dark, gorgeous black hair, and it's pinned up with sort of sticks, almost like chopsticks going through it to hold it up. And you're standing there in this beautiful embroidered robe, and you're holding a fan in front of you, and you're standing in front of a screen. And you were an entertainer. I think the term is probably geisha. But you're an entertainer for cultured clients. And you weren't a prostitute, you weren't offering sex. I want to stress that. It wasn't anything to do with sex. You were entertaining with your conversation. You were talking with people. And you would have noble clients or rich merchants, people who could afford your services because you weren't cheap. And you would do little rituals with them. You'd do the tea ceremony with them, and you would have very cultured conversation with them, so that, and you would listen to them, so that they would pour out they would pour out to you the problems and the life stresses that they were going through. It was a life where one would call it a life of service, not like a servant, but where you were serving other people all the time. And you actually learned a lot of secrets in that incarnation. And you had one particular client who was very aristocratic, a prince, I think, and you decided that you would use some of this knowledge that you got from the prince to blackmail another individual. And that proved not a good decision, because this other individual, who was a powerful politician, sent a group of assassins to kill you, which they did. They tortured you, and then they slit your throat, which was an ignominious way to die. And so I think that now you would be very cautious in what you entrusted to other people. And you should have developed the faculty of listening in this incarnation for the sake of listening. One of the other aspects that comes out of that incarnation is that you were very proficient in creating a beautiful environment. And I'm sure that you would have this ability today. You could advise people on how to be comfortable in their homes. You could give advice about landscaping or designs of offices and home design, how to live more easily in a particular home. incarnation in Italy in, I think, the 17th century. And here, again in a female body, you were, what's this, an Italian word, striga, a witch, I think that would be the right word. You were a wise woman, and you told fortunes there. You told them with cards, and by gazing into a glass ball, and you were very good, actually. But unfortunately for you, the local bishop had you arrested. I think that you were giving advice to people that didn't suit him particularly. And you ended your incarnation in that life in a dreadful underground space, a real prison cell was really nothing more than a hole in the ground, and you died there in the darkness without being able to see the light. So in this incarnation you need to have light around you, surround yourself with light. Make sure that you can see beyond the confines of wherever you are. It's healing to the soul to be able to look out and see a horizon or see into the far distance. And I guess that in this incarnation you probably be careful with the advice that you give to people. It can be very powerful. Incarnation in the distant past I think it is in I'm not sure but I think it's in Egypt about 2,000 years before Christ. Here we see you again in a female body. And here in the role of a priestess. And as I see you, you're sitting in front of a pool where a lotus is growing. And you were the priestess there of the goddess of healing, I think perhaps Hathor, I think the name was, and people would come to this place, this pool that had the water lilies in it, and receive healing from the pool. So you were sort of a doctor because you would use the parts of the water lily for medicinal purposes, but you would also immerse them in the pool and be a conduit for the goddess, that spiritual power of healing, to express. Now that was an incarnation, or that was in that particular priesthood, you had to be celibate, which was unusual, because usually Egyptian priests and priestesses didn't need to be celibate, but you did, because you had dedicated your life. But you fell in love with a young man. He wasn't even an Egyptian, I think he was from somewhere, he had yellow hair, so I think he probably came from somewhere a long way away from Europe. And he came for healing. He had problems with walking. He limped. He had probably what we would call polio now. And you did heal him. And he was so grateful that he fell in love with you. Because when the power of the goddess would come upon you, you would, as it were, become illuminated by that energy, that spiritual energy. It would flow out of you. But you fell in love with this young person, and you went away. You left your work as a priestess, and you went with him back to wherever it was he came from, Scandinavia or somewhere like that, a very, very long way away. And when you did that, you lost your power, and you lost your vision, and you lost your sense of spiritual sight. And that person has been in your life in various incarnations. That person, that individual who betrayed you, became the bishop in the incarnation in Italy. They were the court official that you tried to blackmail in the Japanese incarnation. And it's taken many thousands of years to balance that karma, but it should have been balanced in this incarnation. And perhaps it was through, you know, through a marriage. Perhaps you were married to someone, you had children with them, and that there would come a time when this purpose of this marriage, which was to bring an inner balance through creating new life, because in the Egyptian incarnation you were creating life through spirit, and the way that you would approach, that you would be able to renew your abilities from that incarnation, would be to bring new life into physical existence, so that having children should have been healing for you on many levels. You are at a very crucial age, and there's nothing wrong with not knowing what on earth is going on within your life. That is where you should be at present. In our spiritual understanding, one comes into incarnation in order to do two things, or really I suppose one thing, but the most important thing is that we incarnate in order to evolve as souls. The end point of our incarnation is that we will become divine beings, which for most of us is a very, very long way away. And one of the ways we do that is through the agency that is called karma. And karma functions in different ways. In the early part of your life, where you are looked after by parents, and you have mentors, and you have friends, that indicates karma that was built up from the last part of another life. So that people who are connected with you early in life would be people who you were connected with at the end of a previous incarnation. Then about the age of 30, give or take a couple of years, the soul comes in and takes control of the life. And then for a period of about 20 years, between about the age of 30 and the age of 49, that period of life is devoted to balancing specific karma from prior incarnations, and you decide to do this before you've come into this incarnation. So now you have arrived at a point where you've done that. You've done the right thing. You have paid back the debts that you owed. You've accepted what other people owed you. You have created a sense of self. You know, in one sense, who you are. But the soul is not satisfied, because if that was all there was to existence, then we might as well die at the age of 50. But there's much more. From the age of 50 onwards, the first reason for coming to incarnation, that is to evolve as a spiritual being, that comes back with great force, great energy. But there's a period of transition from about the age of 50 to 56, 57. It's a period of letting go of the past. And it doesn't mean that you don't love your kids or you don't maintain your friendships. What it means is that they are no longer the number one focus within the life. And let's face it, early in life, children have to be a focus. They demand it. Perhaps a career demands a huge amount of focus. But when you get to the age of 50, the soul is sending you this insidious little suggestion. Perhaps there's something more, Maria. Perhaps there's something more to this life than just family, house, earning money, career, you know, all that stuff. Perhaps there's something more to that. And that is what's keeping you a bit off balance, I think, at the moment. You don't know where to put your foot next. Well, I would suggest a really simple way of handling this, and that is to let go. Release. Let go. You don't have to hold on. You don't have to hold on to the home, the house that you're in. You don't have to hold on to old relationships. You don't have to hold on to an old career, because the soul is preparing you for a very important pivot point in your life, and that comes about the age of 56, 57, 58. Now, I want to come back to your palmist, because people with untrained clairvoyance see things, and because they haven't had the spiritual teachings, they don't understand spirit. They can understand psychic. They can be very psychic, all right. They can tell you things that come true all the time, but they don't understand spirit. So that when your palmist saw that something significant, that you were going to pass at the age of 56, what she was seeing was that you were going to pass from one mode of life into another. You, from the age of 56, 57 onwards, your focus will be directed in the spiritual direction. I hope you can grab that. At the moment, it's not. There are little inklings about spirit, but you have had incarnations where you were hugely spiritually important and significant. And I've named the one in Egypt. There was an incarnation in Atlantis where you were an oracle. That is, that you could be in touch with the gods, the higher spiritual forces, the angels, the archangels, the Argive, whatever you want to call them, and you could be a channel for them. Now, when you have that faculty, then you can never, ever, in any incarnation, be completely comfortable with the four walls of a material existence. And material existence is pretty important. We need to eat, we need to live, we need to earn money so we can do all these wonderful things. But that's not the reason we're here. And there are, the inner sight is just starting to wake up, just starting to open up. And if you'll allow that to happen, if you'll allow yourself to be guided by what life sends towards you, then you will awaken that spiritual sight, and you will look out in the world with great understanding. And I think perhaps the reason I'm not allowed to give you a purpose is because you should develop your spiritual insight to such an extent that you know what your purpose is. And the second aura colour, which I think must be quite difficult, is the brown, but it's got the yellow running into it. Not a bright yellow, but a sort of a deepish, sort of lemon curd brownish yellow, a touch of amber even. And it runs into this brown, and it's trying to dissolve the brown away. Now the brown is materialism. It's, I have to live in this world, I need to direct my attention to all these things, my house, my family, my relationships. This has been holding you like a vice. That's what brown does. It forces you to focus on the physical reality. And if we don't focus on our physical reality, then we're idiots anyway, because we can't live in a physical world with our feet on the ground, then we'll just disappear, because we probably won't eat. We'll be too spiritual for our own earthly good, and we'll probably come back into the spiritual world far too early, and the spiritual beings will say to us, well, you didn't make much use of an opportunity to have a physical body, did you, in that life? You better try again. So very important that you have created a structure within this world. And I think it's great that you are looking at changes in career, and I think I've indicated the time frame. It's going to come towards you much more in 2025. So for the moment, try not to panic. Just realize that everything is progressing exactly as it should be. And if you allow the old to release from you, if you allow it to let go, then you make room in your life for the new to come in. The new can't come in as long as the old's still holding caught in your consciousness. So let the old go. Just realize that there are many ways of looking at the world, many ways of understanding life, and that if you cultivate a reflective consciousness, that is to say, you look at what you experience without judgment, you can cultivate that, then that gives life a huge hand in order to help you. Brown is associated with lives where you had to work very hard. Incarnation at the beginning of the 20th century, where you are again a female body, which is interesting, because normally our lives are balanced from life to life. We have roughly equal incarnations in male and female bodies, but here we just see you in a female body. I see you as a young girl, and you're growing up in a town in Wales. It's a coal mining town. You can see a big, I don't know what is, but big wheel there, and huge chutes and piles of coal. And the atmosphere, the air, is terrible. People, the miners were dying of lung disease and all sorts of other really polluting or illnesses that result from pollution. And you your father died. That's what it was. Your father was a miner, and your mother had 7 other kids. Oh, God bless the Welsh. You were 8. There were 8 of you all together. And as soon as you got into your teens, you're 13 or 14, your mother sent you out to work. And you got a job as, and the name that comes into my head is a scullery maid, but I think that really what that means is you got a job in a, the house, I think the home, a huge, what we would call a mansion, a 3-story building with dozens and dozens and dozens of rooms and dozens of servants, and the owner was the owner of the house was the owner, one of the owners of the coal mine. So he employed you, and you got all the menial work, but you were very persistent. You had an incredible determination, and out of the minuscule amount they paid you, actually sent money home to your mother and your family, which assisted your mother and probably saved the lives of some of your siblings. So what that brown means is that you have the capacity to work with great focus and to work very hard. And in that incarnation, you died really quite young. Got a terrible way to go. You got emphysema, so I hope you don't take up smoking in this life. That would not be a very good idea. But you died of emphysema about the age of 17 or 18. And then you came back into incarnation very quickly, which is really interesting because I think we're in the early 20th century, and you came back in just before the end of the First World War, 1917, born again, and here also a woman, but you were born into a middle class family, interestingly enough in England as well, and your parents could afford to send you to school, even to a boarding school, and you became a teacher in that life. You taught, I was going to say you taught English, but I suppose that would go without saying. You were a very good teacher. You didn't marry in that life, but you were very lovely to the students. You taught a little school in the country, so you had a wide range of ages, and you taught all the way up until they went into the secondary phase of their education. And that's interesting because you've got that light yellow brown in your head. And that indicates someone who can think with clarity, organize, discriminate, be discriminating, think logically, think to a purpose. And it would, I don't know whether you've ever gone there, but you'd be a really good teacher in this incarnation. Difficult as a teacher though, because that light red means that you don't like stressful environments, and teaching can be a very stressful environment. So you probably need, but then you could also teach adults, and that is much less stressful. So that in the future I could see you working, training people or tutoring people, running courses in different things. It's interesting, light rose around the hands. Now that's uncommon. Indicates that you should be creative with your hands, paint, do pottery, especially something where you're working with your hands and creating something of use and value. The colour from the shoulders, deep purples, and I think that this is a key to your real deep soul evolution, because the colours from the shoulders are what lift us up. They become like wings. If we ever become angels, they'll become our angel wings. So you become an angel with deep purple wings, which is rather nice. But what would lift you up? Well, purple. It's a mixture of red and blue. And red is life and blue is spirit. So what would lift you up in this life is to combine spirituality and life practice. People with purple strong in the aura often make really good mediators. They can become counselors, they can become people who work with therapies, and actually, being a mediator can be as simple as someone who's in business, because a business person is also a mediator, mediating between the customer and the supplier. So that there is a wide range of what can happen. But you know, the origin of the purples in aeons gone by is what we call the priest nature. That someone where purple is significant has the nature of a priest. And the original purpose of the priest was to mediate between the divine and the human consciousness. And sometimes that means that people had incarnations as priests or as ministers, and you had an incarnation in the 19th century in the United States, a male incarnation. We finally found a male incarnation. You were a minister of, what's that church? It's not Episcopalian. It was a very small, it was a small church. It was just a few branches, but I see you've got this round hat on. Not like a bowler, but a sort of a round hat with a whitish brim, and you would go with a Bible underneath your arms, and you would go and preach and do your work amongst the poorest places. And this is Boston, and I presume there's a port in Boston, because I see you on the port and talking to sailors and talking to the people who lived on the wharf and who worked on the wharf, and you worked with the poorest people there. Now I think in the 21st century that preaching to people in the docks is not going to be a good career move for you. But what it means is that you have a certain knowledge, you have a certain spiritual knowledge there. Anyone who reads the Bible, by the way, develops an enormous spiritual knowledge. So even though you might have been a very conservative minister in that American incarnation, you read your Bible religiously, if you'll forgive the pun, and you became very intelligent and understanding and insightful through that process. And that intelligence and understanding and insight is available to you, and it's a spiritual intelligence. And I would say that that's what's going to be woken within you very strongly in the next 6 to 7 years. the blue descending from the spiritual worlds, the blue vortex. I would say spiritual awakening. I like that idea. I like the idea that your consciousness will be flooded with spiritual understanding, that revelation will come again to you from the spiritual worlds, that channel which you had access to in Atlantis and again in Egypt, that is going to be opened again. The blue is connected with an incarnation in India. Again, a female body, but you unusually, I presume it's unusual, I think we're looking at the 11th century, that's interesting, because you were a woman, you had two children in that life, and then you left them, left the home and the family, and became a wandering, what's the word, sadhu, a wandering yogi, let's call it that. And you attained high level of enlightenment, but because you left your children when they were small, there are penalties to that. You can't just go off and become saintly and sit on a mountain and meditate. Nope, we have to accept our physical responsibilities. And I don't know how many children you've had, but certainly at least one of those children has come back into incarnation in this time round, and you would have had to be responsible for children, for a family. And that part of karma, that karma has also been balanced, which is interesting because it gives you the option now of again pursuing the spiritual path, a spiritual life. Well, we need to look finally at the images in the aura, and the image on the left hand side, which is a statue of the Virgin Mary bending over, is actually quite gorgeous because it is a memory of a previous life where you were a little child. And I think, let me see, you're in France, and you were orphaned, so you were brought up by the nuns of the convent, and they thought you were just gorgeous, you were delightful, you laughed, you had the most beautiful smile, very pretty little girl you were. And You particularly loved the statue of Mary, and you would go and you would gather flowers and bring flowers to the statue, and the nuns thought you were just the cutest little thing. Sliced bread wouldn't cut it. And a little bit sad, that life, because you died quite young. There was a fire in the orphanage, and some of the nuns died trying to save the children, but many children didn't make it out, and I'm afraid that incarnation also ended prematurely. You were very young at that stage when you died. And the trouble is that when you have an incarnation where you die very young, then those energies of that life have never completely been expressed. And so they can turn back in on yourself, on themselves. And so in this incarnation, you need to release the spiritual love that you have. You need to release the little girl that's inside you. you need to release the sense of wonder, the sense of awe, the sense of transcendence. The symbol in the front of the aura is you emerging from a cave, or you've been walking down a long tunnel, and I think that probably is we've the passage in life in the last 10 to 7 years, gradual movement forward, and you know you're nearly at the end of that tunnel. It's just a little bit further. I'd say 2 years is going to make big changes, and in 6 or 7 years your life can be turned around completely. And that's the meaning of the sun that's rising on the right hand side. Sun represents, of course, new life and a new sense of identity, so that you will have the option, the opportunity to leave behind the old sense of identity and become a new person. You'll become renewed. The symbol of the over-self, a really difficult symbol, Maria. It shows you in heavy gumboots trying to wade through mud, which I expect is the way you feel about life at the moment. But what you don't see, or what the person in the image doesn't see, is that there's a light appearing just behind you. You can't see it yet, but that light is going to shine on this mud and show you a way out. And then when you get to the end of the muddy patch, you know, you can always take off the gumboots. You don't have to wear gumboots forever. You can walk around in bare feet. You can buy some nice shoes. You have lots of options with your life. And I think that you're coming to a turning point in your life. Palmer's friend was right about that, that there is a pivotal point coming where you will be able to look back and say, yes, I did that. Well done, good and faithful servant, as the scripture would have it. But then you're going to turn around 180 degrees and you're going to say, but now I have a new path to walk. And what can happen then is that a new task is given to you. New energies will enter in, new insights, new understandings. And I would wish you great joy on this path, because this is the time of joy, the time between about 56 through to the 70s. It should be a time where the past falls away into perspective, where you are on a voyage of discovery about you, and where memories of the past, and I mean past lives, start to unfold within you, and you start to express the spiritual gifts that your soul came into incarnation with in the first place so many thousands and thousands of years ago. And in that unfolding, there'll not only be shed a light for you, but you'll be able to shed a light for others, and that would be a great experience in life. So shall it be.